This morning I want to talk to you about all that's been going on in our country, in our towns, and around the world with regard to this coronavirus. There's been a lot reported on the news. There's been a whole lot of activity. And I saw that somebody called it the toilet paper apocalypse was what it was called. I was at the store yesterday at 8 a.m. I was doing some shopping for two of our elderly members, and I was going to deliver the groceries. And at 8 a.m., the line was 30 minutes long. So the news is saying to everybody, avoid large gatherings, but yet everybody's at the stores. And people are stocking up on things like toilet paper, and they're stocking up on laundry detergent and other things. And some people are thinking, well, I need that. I might be stuck. And others can't get laundry detergent because others are stockpiling it. There are a lot of reactions right now. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of fear. And there's a lot of reaction that we're taking. Why do we react? Well, for myself, I can speak for myself. I react because I'm anxious and because I'm not in control. So I seek to control. If you've noticed, the church has sent out a couple emails in the last couple days. Each time I sought to control and send out the perfect email, and then I got further instructions from our diocese that I had to send another email. And I had to fight the tendency to be frustrated and to just respond, and to respond in a loving way, both to technology that wasn't working when I was trying to get it working and everything else. It's important to remember who you are and where you're going at these times. And we can learn that from the people of Israel, God's people, as we see in our reading from Exodus. If you had your Bible open to our reading from Exodus, chapter 17, if you just turn back maybe one page, I'm not sure where it is in your Bible, but in chapter 14, they crossed the Red Sea. In chapter 12 was the Passover, so 12 and 13 were the Exodus. They had just been delivered from slavery by their God. They had celebrated their deliverance, not of their own strength, but by God. In chapter 16, God gave them bread from heaven. He fed them miraculously with food. And in chapter 16, verse 13, actually in verse 12, in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And then verse 13, in the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. God was providing for his people in a miraculous way. That's what leads up to chapter 17. They have seen God's miraculous provision of food, not just of manna, which was miraculous enough, but of quail coming in, enough to feed hundreds of thousands. And then we read in verse 17, they moved on, but there was no water for the people to drink. And much like some people have said about the response in public here with COVID-19, with the coronavirus, the people of Israel lost their minds. Please understand, I'm not saying that everybody's overreacting. We need to react. But I do want to say that the people of Israel here, they forgot who they were. They forgot where they were going. They forgot what had just happened. There was no water. Just a few days before they had been delivered. Just that day they had been fed. And yet they cry out to God, where's the water? Where's the toilet paper? They quarreled with Moses. They quarreled with God. They said to Moses, why did you bring us out? They're trying to control their own situation. What they needed to remember was who they were. They were God's people. God chose them. God delivered them. God promised them a future to their father Abraham. And it was a promise, not just of a future for God's people, but a promise to be a blessing to all nations. And they also forgot where they were going. God promised them that he was taking them to a land. He promised them he would get them there. How differently it would have read if they had said, wow, there's no water. So let's stop and let's pray together and ask God to provide. And then let's look. You know what? We might be thirsty for a while, but we can trust this God. who's delivered us so far. I'm hoping that you're receiving encouragement in your own fear and in your own anxiety as you're hearing this. In our letter that Paul wrote to Romans chapter 1, Paul's reminding the church who they are. Paul's reminding the church that Jesus was promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and who was declared to be the Son of God in power. Paul's reminding the church, remember your Lord Jesus. Remember who you are. Remember that you have a calling. And that's a calling to proclaim the name of Jesus to the ends of the earth. There's going to be anxiety and there's going to be fear during this time. And I hope that you can take time to remember who you are. If you're redeemed, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then you have new life in His name. In our gospel reading, we heard about that living water. If you have faith in Jesus, you've received that living water. Not just that will satisfy you completely, but that will overflow through you to the nations, to the people around you. If you have faith, remember who you are. If you don't yet have faith in Jesus Christ, I hope that you'll consider this, that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and the only way to the Father. He said that, not me. I hope you remember He is the source of living water. Doesn't mean you won't be thirsty, but He is the source of peace and of life. So as you go through these days, I want to encourage Church of the Redeemer. I want to encourage you wherever you are to, when you feel anxious, to take a moment. Remember who you are. You're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember where you're going. You have a mission, not to have toilet paper, not to have everything that you want, but you have a mission to share the good news about Jesus to the world. I hope that you'll look around your neighborhood at those that are anxious. I had a neighbor pop out on her doorstep as I was taking a walk with Kim and Virginia last night. And she waved at me and she said, "Where have you been? I miss you. Come on over." You too will have neighbors that are looking for contact, that are looking for connection. And I hope that you'll reach out to your neighbors, see if you could take them groceries. See how you might be able to love them with the love that you've received from Jesus Christ. See how you'll be able to overflow to them the living water that has filled you. And in this week, I pray the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, so if you've got your prayer books still open, we did the homily there, and we're now on page 20 at the Apostles' Creed. So if you want to stand, that's usually how the people of God declare their faith, using the historic words of the creeds. I'm going to turn and face the cross. Let's declare our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. Let us pray. And you can be seated, or you can kneel for prayer, or you can continue to stand for prayer.